And on the line now, I have Rose Wall, who is CEO of Community Law and Mediation. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning, John.
And thanks very much for taking the call. Now, you're going to give us an update on services that are available. I know you were trying to get back to in-person interviews. How are things working out at the moment?
Well, unfortunately, the numbers haven't been in our favour. We had planned to move back to in-office working and face-to-face services after the full relaxation of COVID restrictions on October 22nd, but obviously things have changed since that original plan. But we are still offering our services, our legal advice services by phone and our mediation service online, and we are keen to resume in-person services to some extent. So we will in the future be offering a combination of both in-person and remote options across our legal, mediation and education services. But for now, we're going to trial a return to in-person legal clinics, the first of which is going to start next Tuesday in South Hill in Limerick, because we have an office down in Limerick too.
Yeah.
And I suppose we're just going to trial that, learn from that, and then hopefully expand it to our other clinics and other services. So for now, if your listeners, particularly if they're living in Dublin, I suppose, and they want to make a legal advice appointment, they can contact our service on 01 8477 804, and you will be provided with an appointment with our solicitors for about 20 minutes on a range of areas of law. We advise on all areas of law, really. So please do get in touch if you have a query. And if you have a mediation issue, so if you're in conflict with a neighbour or a family member or even a colleague, and you want to, I suppose, explore mediation to resolve that, you can contact us again on the same number, and we will offer a mediation service online for that. And apart from our general clinics, we're also running a number of specialised clinics in collaboration with other organisations. So we have a kind of a free legal advice clinic in collaboration with the Irish Cancer Society at the moment, and that's for cancer patients, survivors and their family members, and you can make an appointment for that with the Irish Cancer Society on 1-800-200-700. And I suppose a lot of the issues there would primarily be around things like access to medical cards or access to social welfare. But we also run a clinic in collaboration with EPIC, which is a wonderful organisation working with children and young people in care. And again, that's on a range of issues, things like housing and social welfare and family law issues also. And an appointment can be made with EPIC for that. So we're still continuing as before, you know, providing phone-based legal clinics and mediation online, but we are slowly dipping our toe into moving back to in-person services. But it's difficult, as you know, John, to kind of make any plan at the moment with things changing as quickly as they are.
Yeah, and the numbers have gone up something fierce lately, so that's all very understandable. And your Centre for Environmental Justice, what's happening there with that?
Yeah, so we set that up officially launched it with Mary Robinson in February this year. And so that's going from strength to strength. We have a manager, Clodagh Daly, and a caseworker, Helena Murphy, working in the centre, as well as the kind of broader CLM team. So we're running legal advice clinics every month on environmental justice issues. And just to give a little bit of an explanation as to what that is, because it's kind of a new concept in Ireland, environmental justice is essentially about, you know, your enjoyment of the environment around you and, I suppose, the impact of environmental burdens or harms on you. So the types of queries that we're dealing with are things like pollution, whether that's water pollution or air pollution, and maybe where action has not been taken around that and how it affects, you know, members of particular communities. Also, dumping and derelict sites is an issue that has come up. And things like rodent infestation in social housing accommodation, you know, has come up a lot because, you know, it's felt that that has been linked to climate change and increased kind of rainfall. So they're the kinds of issues that we're seeing in our clinics. Another issue that we're keenly aware of is around air quality. So we know that there are issues around air quality in Ireland and indeed air quality monitoring, and that impacts certain people more if they live in a particular area that's affected by heavy traffic or doesn't have very good public transport infrastructure, or if a person has a disability or a respiratory condition. You know, those groups are particularly affected by air quality issue, and it can have a really significant impact on people. So if any of your listeners are affected by that issue, please do contact our Environmental Justice Clinic and we'll be able to provide you with advice and support.
Yeah, and I'm looking here, you also run free environmental training sessions. environmental
yeah,
rights.
Yeah, so quite apart from the legal advice and representation service that we run as part of the Environmental Justice Centre, we also provide training, capacity building training for organisations and individuals. So we recently provided a kind of a three-part webinar on, it's called the Aarhus Convention, but essentially it's a legal instrument which provides rights to the public on environmental, you know, access to environmental information and access to participation in environmental decisions. So we ran a course on that very recently, and that's available on our website if anybody wants to watch it back. But we're also providing training for organizations. And the thing about environmental justice, it seems like a very kind of faraway term, but actually it fundamentally boils down to the enjoyment of the environment around us, and really that impacts on everything. So it overlaps with all of the kind of areas that we normally work in, areas like health, areas like housing, and so we're running very shortly, actually in the next couple of weeks, a workshop on housing and environmental justice, looking at the overlap between those two areas. And so if any organisations are listening today and want to participate in that workshop and that training, please do get in touch. Our number is 01-8477-804. But apart from the training, our centre has been very busy on kind of the law reform and policy side, and this has been, you know, a really busy year for that, and I think the next few years are going to be just as busy. And you know, I'm sure yourself and everybody listening today is aware that, you know, COP26 is ongoing at the moment in Glasgow, and that's all around, you know, governments around the globe coming together to make commitments around climate action. And, you know, the role of the centre is to absolutely hold the government to account on any commitments, but also to make sure that any climate action, you know, is done in a fair way. And so, for example, we would have made a submission recently around the budget and around carbon taxes. And I suppose our submission essentially said that there should be no carbon taxes this year anyway, and for the foreseeable future, while our public transport infrastructure is as poor as it is and our retrofitting programme hasn't been fully implemented. Because, you know, the logic behind carbon taxes is that, you know, if people have the choice between an expensive way of heating their home or of getting to work, or a cheaper way, that they would choose a cheaper way, that cheaper way would be better for the environment. But the reality is, you know, if you live in certain areas, you don't have an option but to drive, or you don't have an option but to burn, you know, certain types of fuel, or you don't have an option to retrofit your home because you're a tenant or a social housing tenant. So we just want to make sure that any climate action measures are done in a really fair way and make sure that they don't, you know, increase inequality in doing so.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there, in particular elderly people, who are in fear of this carbon tax. You know, it's going to up their bills, and I don't see how it's going to help with the environment, really.
Well, you know, it only helps, as I said, if people have a genuine choice about, you know, two different ways of doing them. One is a kind of environmentally clean way, and one is an environmentally dirty way of doing it. But the problem is, like you say, lots of people don't have that choice. And so if you're going to impose carbon taxes, we need to make sure that we have a very comprehensive and adequate retrofitting program that is poverty-proofed. And that we look at things like energy poverty. I mean, we don't have an energy poverty strategy. It's way out of date. So the government really need to look at putting in place a very comprehensive energy poverty strategy. So all those things need to be put in place before we start taxing people on how they heat their homes and on how they get around. Because otherwise it's going to be unfair, and it's going to be unfair on certain groups more. I mean, we know our energy poverty affects older people more, as you rightly say, but also lone parents, private tenants, social housing tenants, the unemployed. They're all people who are hit more by energy costs, which are rising. And so to put carbon tax on top of that without ensuring that we are properly, you know, implementing and having a comprehensive retrofitting program, and putting in place other measures, including, you know, an adequate public transport network, then really it's going to just result in unfairness and inequality.
There's lots of things happening now with CLM, and they seem to be expanding into different areas.
Yeah, we're busy. We're always busy, and I suppose COVID saw us get even busier, because you know, we're there to assist with the issues faced by the community, and COVID put real pressure on families and put real pressure on the community. And so we would have seen a huge increase in our numbers around, you know, on our employment issues, around housing issues, and around family law and domestic violence issues. So we are busy with our normal work. And as you say, we set up the Centre for Environmental Justice because we were seeing environmental justice issues coming through our work. And obviously, it's an area that's going to get bigger and bigger as climate action measures are taken in the years to come, and climate change becomes an even greater problem than it is now. But our other services are as busy as ever. You know, our training and education is as busy as ever. And we recently launched our Legal Eagles programme, which is a programme that we work on with local schools, with Mercy College and with Chanel College every year, where we go in and work with transition year students and provide them with, you know, legal talks and a fun way of learning about the law and making the law relevant for them and engaging them in a positive way about the law. And then, well, pre-COVID, we would have had a mock court competition out in UCD, but since then we've been doing kind of presentations and things like that. But we launched that recently with the mayor, the Lord Mayor Alison Gilliland, out in Mercy College, and that's always a very fun project. And, you know, one thing that we see coming through our work time and time again is that, you know, the law isn't that accessible for people, and it's not just because, you know, they can't afford a solicitor or a solicitor isn't available to them. It's that sometimes it's not always obvious to people that the law can help them in whatever situation they find themselves in. So we regularly come across people who are in very difficult circumstances, have been refused social welfare, have been made homeless, maybe have an employment issue, maybe have been refused access to education. We do a lot of work with children and young people, but they don't always appreciate that that's something that a solicitor can assist with or the law can assist with. So a big part of our work is going out and talking to communities, and this is part of our work at local schools too, you know, and going out and making the law real and accessible for the communities that we work with, so that they do come and talk to us and avail of the law, which hopefully can help with the situation that they find themselves in.
Yeah, sometimes people can be a bit nervous of going to a solicitor and, you know, trying to discuss problems with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, we see that all the time. And, you know, pre-COVID, a very important feature of our work is the outreach nature of it. So we would go out to, you know, we would go out to local libraries to do community education. We would go to, you know, older persons' coffee mornings to run talks on wills and things like that. And we would run our clinics in family centres, in community centres, to kind of take away that intimidating atmosphere and to bring the law to the community rather than the other way around. And that's become a real challenge with COVID. I mean, in some ways, our services are more accessible because all people have to do is pick up the phone and it's accessible to people all over, you know, all over the country. People don't need to take time off work necessarily. They don't need to organise childcare. So in some ways, it is better, you know, and more accessible. But in other ways, as I said, people don't always understand that the law is there to help with their situation, so they won't necessarily Google our number and pick up the phone to us. And that's where our outreach service is really missed. And that's why we're kind of trialling the legal advice clinic down in Limerick to try and get back to some face-to-face services, because we realise it's a really important aspect of our work.
Yeah, and the Legal Eagles project is fantastic because those young adults, they're going to leave school or college and they're going to get jobs and they're going to have problems, but at least they'll know all I can avail of this service. And
well, yeah, and you know, John, not only that they can avail of the service, but that perhaps they might consider pursuing a career in law and a career in social justice and human rights, because that's really important. It's really important that we have diversity in law and that the community is represented by, you know, the solicitors and barristers and judges that are there. So it's really important that, you know, the children that we work with do see law as a career option open to them. And in fact, you know, when we were out in Mercy just launching this year's programme, I was chatting with the principal there who did say that actually some of their students, because we've been doing the programme for a number of years now, have gone on to study law, which is really encouraging. And so, you know, and part of the programme, again, pre-COVID, would be bringing the students out to UCD because they have a wonderful, you know, kind of a mock courtroom set up there, and we bring the students out and they gown up and they wear the wigs and we have a kind of a mock judge, and we've even gone to the criminal courts down in Phoenix Park as well. And that's brilliant, you know, it kind of takes away that intimidation for the students in terms of thinking about going to university, thinking about pursuing a career in law in university, and it brings a real positive experience of the law to the students, you know, and makes it kind of interesting and real for them. So we do the talks on areas that are of, I suppose, of relevance to them, things like social media and the law, or things like human rights, or things like environmental justice and climate change. So we try to keep it as kind of relevant and interesting for them. But it has been a really positive project, and it's one that we hope to continue. And I should say we're very grateful to our sponsors, Dublin City Council, for enabling the project and allowing it to continue.
It's great service, and I'm always saying it to you, Rose, it's great to know that it's there, and I'm sure that there's listeners listening in and might want to avail of the service. So they can ring 01847 7804 to make an appointment.
Yes, yeah, and please do. You can also go on our website, communitylawandmediation.ie, to find out more information about our services, and our phone number will be there too. And if you can't get through, I would just encourage listeners to leave a message and we'll get back to you very quickly and set up an appointment.
Okay, Rose, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's it. Thanks, John, and thanks for having me on.
And thank you for taking the call. It's always great talking to you. It's very interesting, and the listeners always enjoy the chats we have.
Great. Thanks, John.
Okay, Rose, thank you very much. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, that was Rose Wall there, CEO of Community Law and Mediation, and the website is communitylawandmediation.ie, and if you were, you know, if you go on there, you'll get lots of information. You'll also get phone numbers and an example of what the work they